Hello, everyone, and welcome to the TeleSummit, Come Into Your Heart Power, How to Blaze Your Unique Trail and Prosper from Your Passion. I'm very excited to have John Mayfield with us today. Dr. Mayfield is a chiropractor, and he's a renowned healer who has drawn on ancient and modern techniques of various cultures and traditions in his development of a unique system of healing. He's been in practice as a chiropractor for over 40 years, and he lives with his wife in Grass Valley, California. And I'm so excited I found you. I found you by searching for heart-centered innovators on the internet, and I found this amazing book, and I found you, which I'm so excited about. Delighted to have you take the time to be interviewed today. So welcome. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me to this, Marcia.
Oh, I am truly honored. I can't get enough of this book. So I'd love to start with telling me or telling our audience how you evolved into this field of chiropractic work and being a healer on a spiritual path, helping people come into the new, cross over into this new paradigm shift from the mind-based functioning to the heart center, how that all evolved. Would you be able to start with the beginning of when this awakening happened for you?
Well, when I was 8 years old, I had about six real intense spiritual experiences, and I saw pretty clear for an eight-year-old kid.
Wow.
And I saw that I had had all these warrior lifetimes, and I didn't want to do that anymore. I really wanted to be a healer.
Aww.
And then when I'd gone to a couple years of college, and I sort of lost my way as I got older because I didn't see anybody that was doing healing work like what I kind of could sort of imagine, you know?
Right.
And then my younger brother, Mick, was on the trampoline, and he was going from a backflip to a front flip, and he opened up on his head and paralyzed himself.
Oh.
And my father took him to a chiropractor. And the chiropractor kind of freaked out because he could see the malpractice, but my dad said, well, let's take an x-ray. And every time the chiropractor would freak out, my dad would say, let's take another x-ray. And he said, isn't it, my dad was a welder, and so he could read blueprints, and an x-ray is like a blueprint. And he said, isn't that bone really this far out of alignment this way? And see if you can make it go that way. And after about six x-rays, my brother walked out of that office on his own two legs.
Oh, my goodness. That's
and
so powerful.
That, to me, was a miracle.
Yeah.
And then I had lunch with that chiropractor, and by the end of the lunch, I knew what I was going to do for the rest of my life. And so I went off to Palmer in Iowa, which was, at the time, it was a great college.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when I was there, even armed with the philosophy of Palmer, that Palmer taught, which was pretty incredible, and with all of the basic sciences of anatomy, physiology, and pathology, the mind still seemed like a vast, trackless, fathomless ocean, you know, must have seemed to the early explorers. Mm-hmm. And when I got out of school, I kept learning a new technique and a new technique, and I learned 12 more healing methodologies before I really found the first one that made any sense, and that was the five elements, which is the basis of Chinese physiology.
Mm-hmm.
It's the basic theory of acupuncture.
Right.
And it was like coming home.
Really?
Here was a science that really embraced my wholeness.
Yeah.
And it was so incredible. And as I studied the five elements, then the understanding of how the body and the mind works, you actually don't have a separate body and a mind. You have a body-mind.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of your brain being in charge of your consciousness, which is what we learned in all of the anatomy classes, mm-hmm. your heart is in charge of your consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really have two operating systems. And all through history, almost everyone has operated out of their brain with hellish consequences.
Correct, yes.
And when your heart's in charge of your consciousness, you wind up getting everything you want. It's easy to achieve peace of mind. And the heart can actually listen in on all the organs, and all your organs are like highly esteemed cabinet members, and mm-hmm. the heart is, it's not like the president because it doesn't get reelected every 4 years. It's really the emperor. And the heart can actually listen in on what all of the organs, all the information it's trying to give, where the brain has a speed limit of 24 frames per second. And so when the brain's in charge, you're reduced down to just the physical and mental dimensions.
Wow.
And when your heart's in charge, you truly are a seven-dimensional being. And that doesn't include your spirit and soul. That's just the body that we live in for this lifetime.
Very, very powerful. I am smiling ear to ear listening to you. You have a clarity about you that helps make something that could be complicated very simple and
well,
easy to
simple.
Understand.
In your body, you have seven incredible dimensions which allow your spirit access to these incredible dimensions. On the physical level, you get to explore this beautiful blue-green paradise world we live in, and all the sports and the sensuousness of food and
mm-hmm.
making love.
Mm-hmm.
And on the mental level, you get all of the sciences and the ability to communicate with people. And then
mm-hmm.
on the emotional level, that's when you get in touch with the wisdom of your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because spiritual energy and emotional energy are the most alike.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody invites you to a function on Saturday, and your spirit, which is not bound by time or space, is experiencing that event right now.
Mm-hmm.
And your first feeling is your exact spiritual preview if you decide to go to that event on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then in your higher levels, your acupuncture meridians rule over the causal body. And your meridians hold your energy field out, so you have this aura around you that insulates you so you don't have to hear everybody's soap opera in your head and you don't feel all their pain in your body. It allows you to have an autonomous
mm-hmm.
life. And then the endocrine glands, they stabilize your emotions. So, for instance, the hormones of the uterus or the prostate stabilize what it's like to be a human being in either a female body or a male body.
Mm-hmm.
And then the chakras, which represent your seventh level body, that's all your values and beliefs and the assumptions that you make about the life around you.
Mm-hmm. So you've really done an in-depth study. The first three things that I heard, and I'd love to go further with your evolution, are number one, that little 8-year-old who knew he wanted to be part of the healing around him and didn't see much that resonated. Even when you got older in college, you just you couldn't find a path or a direction or even perhaps people. But then when your brother was injured, your father was already connected to some type of intuition or wisdom and intelligence that the chiropractor then followed. And then here you are being revealed your life path through this, you know, severe challenge and difficulty in your family's life. It's so amazing. And then how you felt you were coming home. It's like you were coming home when you went to chiropractic school, and then you were really coming home when you discovered the five elements of acupuncture. It just led you further and further down your path of what you've created now. So tell me a little bit about how that evolved. Did you just keep studying this and applying it in your practice? Did you start?
Well,
I know you just recently wrote this book, which took you several years, but how did that translate into your practice?
I've been a student of the body. When I was a kid, we went to church all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a wonderful background. And then when I got older, I studied all these self-help books. I've probably read 1,000 of those books, like Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked for a Mexican chiropractor when I first got out of school, and he had the library to die for.
Wow.
With all those self-help books. And I literally digested his library
in the time
that I worked for him. Incredible. And it was kind of like the teachings, you know, the religious or spiritual teachings that I learned in church. And then this was like taking that out into the real world,
all
the self-help books.
Yes.
And then when
yes.
I went to Palmer was very spiritual.
Was it?
Yeah, and instead of saying things in a way that people could argue about, they called innate intelligence would be like your own spirit, and universal intelligence would be the greater over spirit or God or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And by calling it those names, it allowed Muslims and Jews and Baptists to all talk about it without getting all their edges bumping up against each other.
right. So I just wanted
to say one more thing, that the more that I learned about the body and the body-mind, the more I realized how simple every aspect of the body is. Because you have all these seven dimensions, and you have all these organs, and they're all lending information all the time, and everything is instantaneous. And so when you have seven different dimensions that are interfacing with each other instantaneously, the systems have to be really, really simple.
Hmm.
Beyond simple. So it's not like an Apple computer trying to interface with an IBM.
Mm-hmm.
They all use exactly the same operating system, and every cell knows what every other cell in the body knows. And actually, every cell is like a full-blown computer. So we're really a big computer.
Are you in a state of awe and reverence? I can feel it in you. Like when you're working with someone, you must just have such an, an attitude of mystery and awe as
really?
You work with someone. I can't even imagine what that must be like for you, the depth.
The more you know about how the human body works, the harder it'd be to be an atheist, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
This body that we have is the most incredible thing we'll ever have in our life.
Yeah.
And most people treat it like it's a clunker car.
Right.
Complaining about it all the time.
right. Exactly. And that affects our health right there, right? Rather than being in a state of gratitude or communion with our bodies,
right.
that our bodies can respond.
You're in a state of gratitude, then your heart is figuring out how to have more gratitude in your life. And when you're focused on all the problems, like especially people that focus on politics and conspiracy theories,
mm-hmm.
that causes their mind to have to figure out how to have more problems in their life.
That's so true.
And so when I was younger, I would obsess with conspiracy theories and politics, and my life was just chaos.
Right.
And when I realized that the heart was the emperor of my consciousness, and I started really working at loving everything I have and focusing on what I love, my world got simpler and more beautiful and more gracious, to where everywhere I look, I'm just surrounded by love and loving things and loving people.
I feel that in you. Every time I've spoken with you, I've spoken with you a couple times, and even now I feel that very deeply in you. I feel also you're very much in the present moment and open in your heart. And I was thinking as you were sharing, you just really are. What this summit really is about coming into your heart power and then through that being in a whole other state of grace, really, of awakened consciousness and seeing through the eyes of your heart. I taught a yoga class last night, and I was sharing my own experience about when my heart started to open, I started to feel this love in my heart. I could feel my heart enlightening my mind, and I could see the light in my mind. And I'd heard that before, seeing the light, being enlightened, but to have that experience was like, wow, this is really what being enlightened is. My heart was moved, that energy of my heart was transforming how my mind was seeing things and is seeing things. And
right.
It's amazing. Right. It wasn't just a word anymore, you know,
no.
A concept.
And, well, what your heart does is it can listen in on all of your other organs, like your liver and gallbladder, or like the architect and general contractor of your life, and your kidneys are actually your higher mind.
Ah.
Each kidney has somewhere between 15,000 to 25,000 filtration units called glomeruli that filter 20% of your blood per hour. And the glomeruli are completely aligned with gray matter. And so for over 200 years now, anatomists have known that the kidneys were some kind of a brain. But when I started to chiropractic college in 1964, thinking that your brain wasn't in charge of your consciousness was so heretical a thought.
Really?
That no scientifically minded person would even consider it.
Wow.
And then in the 70s, J.R. Worsley took the five elements and translated it and introduced it to the entire world outside of Asia. And so by the 80s, the five elements were starting to become known to a lot of the holistic practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
And now, in the community where I live, it's fairly common knowledge that your heart is in charge of your consciousness when you're spiritually awake, and your brain is only in charge of your consciousness when you're really spiritually asleep.
Mm.
And so
wow,
your heart,
it's very powerful.
Yeah,
it's
your
more
heart,
mainstream now in where you are.
It's becoming mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And so your heart translates the wisdom of your spirit and all the wisdom from all of your organ systems into a language that your mind can comprehend.
Wow. Tell me about how you it's transformed your life, but also those around you, because when we are blazing our unique trail, we are the first recipients of this beautiful gift of the heart, and we're at the service of our heart and our intelligence and the creative force that you've moved into, said yes to, and integrated all the things you've studied to create something new. How has this changed you, or how have you benefited? But also I'd love to hear about how it's benefited others. I mean, we did discuss this when I spoke with you, but I'd love the audience to hear.
Well, before I got into the five elements, I realized my father and I didn't get along.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a wall between us that felt like it was 100 miles high.
Yeah.
And I realized that if the wall between my father and I was ever going to come down, it wasn't going to be on his initiative, and that I needed to forgive him.
Yeah.
And I prayed and meditated about it because I didn't have a clue what forgiveness really meant. And what I got is that when somebody does something mean to you, you never really forget about it.
Right.
But that's not what causes you pain. What causes you pain is the feelings.
Right.
And so forgiveness is just simply feeling the feelings that separate you from another. And then your heart never really loses its childlike innocence. And so as
yes.
soon as you feel the feelings, the heart automatically wants to love that person, even if they're
yes.
difficult.
Yes. It's our natural state. Mm.
And so what I find is that every moment you are overriding your DNA. And everything that you consider your personality is coming from your body mind, from your genetics, your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And so every moment you either reinforce your painful old stories
mm-hmm.
or you feel your feelings and step up into the higher realms where your heart is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And so every year your world gets lighter and brighter, and forgiveness is really the, I believe, the key to it all, you
right.
know, because that really allows your heart to come forward and step away from your brain being in charge.
Yes. And you experienced that in your relationship with your father?
Yeah, when I started working at forgiving my father. And my father was a powerful man. And he was in Patton's Third Army through the whole Battle of the Bulge and all the way to the Czechoslovakian border. Mm-hmm. And if you do a year and a half of combat, you really become a sociopath, period.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the Army trains all these people to be warriors and then just sends them back home to be with their family.
Right.
And there's no debriefing, and there's no psychological reentry into society. And so, as I worked at forgiving my father, he went from being the most powerful man I knew to really being a great man. And I felt like I got to be part of his transition. And it allowed me to have the power that my father had. You know, because until you forgive, it's like you don't really get the access to your genetic background.
That's so true. That is so powerful. Wow, because your heart wall is protecting you. You can't let that in.
Right.
Wow.
Right. Once you forgive, then you're free. You're free from your karma. So, you know, all your old painful memories are like grappling hooks that bind you to the karma of the person you have difficulty with.
Yes.
And as you forgive them, it's like releasing another grappling hook and another grappling hook. And it changes that person dramatically, as it changes
yes.
you. And
yes.
it changes both the past and the present and the future. So.
Yes. I'm smiling listening to you. Such hope for ourselves and for our loved ones and for the world. You know, and yet, my question to you is, in your experience, this journey home to your heart and the emotions, did you experience that, you know, coming up in layers of being willing to release every layer that came up over time? Was that a long process for you, or?
It's just a continuous process.
Right.
Like, I'll get invited to some party or something, and you walk in, and often there's kind of a overlay where the people are dealing with feeling insecure or they're worried or inadequate. And you walk in, and sometimes the emotions in a room is so thick that you can't find your own center.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it'll take me 20 or 30 or 40 minutes of feeling one feeling after another until I come clear of all of that.
Mm.
And a couple times I've had people come up to me and say, "You just always seem to get along everywhere you go." And I said, "Well, yeah, after about 40 minutes of steadily feeling all of the feelings that came up." And he went, "Oh." See the real
Watch out when you live with an open heart, huh?
Right. So it takes work.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's the only game in town. There's really no out there.
I'm so there with you. I just get that. You know, in my experience, listening to you too, that, you know, these heart walls, often when I, you know, have done deep healing work myself and also with the deep work I do with my clients, I notice when they're in their anger, often, when I create the safety for them, you know, really let that anger out, they don't want to be in that anger. And often, once they can express that aggression, and then right quickly underneath is often just profound loss and grief and disappointment, you know?
So, I always encourage people to experience what they're dealing with.
Right.
Because as soon as they feel that anger, it just dissipates.
It does. It does. And people, you know, and I experience this too. I don't want to be in this anger. I don't want to be in this. Well, you are. So bring the love, bring the heart-centered presence to this part of you. It's a message. It wants to tell you a story, but don't caught up in the story. You know, it's the human condition. We've all had things that have broken our hearts, and yet those are often the pathway to the source. You know, life is set up to move us back and pull us back to ourselves, you know, eventually. Like, even, you know, what happened, just look at your life. It's amazing to me, especially people that have pioneered new pathways, the things that have happened, almost like the energy was walking ahead of you, the things that happened to choose you for this.
Yeah.
The people you met, the natural gifts you came in with, the part of that 8-year-old that already was awakened enough to know. I mean, this is just mystery. And then your brother's injury, all that, just working for good. It's so beautiful.
Well, I think sometimes I had a Vedic astrologer do my chart, and she said, oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. In Vedic astrology, there's 10 things, and if any one of them show up in your chart, you have a very difficult existence from cradle to grave. And then she told me I had 5 of them. But I look back at all of that, and it's like a bittersweet tapestry.
Yeah.
And what makes chocolate taste so good is because of the bitter and the sweetness in combination, for instance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when a patient of mine comes in and they're struggling with some terrible issue, I've had that a dozen times. And so it allows me to see the depth of their pain that they're going through.
Yes.
And also to see that it's just a transitory stage that they can move through if they choose
yes.
to.
That's right. Right.
And so I think our adversities are they're gold.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
If you really experience them. What most people try to do is they try to not experience them.
Correct. Right.
So if you don't feel the pain or suffering, then, and you only think it, then it continues to build and build and build until it becomes a fire-breathing monster.
Right.
But if you feel it, it just dissolves.
That's right. And in our culture, we've been so taught not to feel, especially men, that's changing. And I always try to reframe that for clients, that it takes strength to say yes to our pain.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a weakness. It takes a lot of strength to say yes and go where we'd rather not go. But if we really want to be free, we really want to heal, we really want to be part of the solution on the planet, you know, to be aligned with that love that we know we are deep down. We have a choice, but we don't. You know, it takes us where we'd rather not go. And yet,
yeah.
Look at your yes to your path. It's helping so many people.
Well, I believe that your spirit and soul bring you all your lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have these plans and dreams and desires, and then all the lessons that happen to you is the most direct journey your spirit and soul can find to take you to there.
Right.
And so if you say yes to all the lessons that come up, then your life becomes magical. And then at every intersection, there's the teacher, there's the mystery, and there's the gift.
Yes, yes.
If you say no, if you try to fight against it, then you have to repeat your history over and over and over again.
And then it usually gets worse and more painful. So, you know, it just keeps adding a whole other layer to what could have been, you know, easier to work through. It just keep attracting those situations. The reenactment patterns just keep coming. It's like until it gets loud enough, you know. So we have a choice, but we don't really. It's like with being a parent, right? You know, you can say, no, I'm not doing what you want me to do. But in the end, guess what? You better learn to say yes to what we know is really for our highest good. You know, and what comes to me listening to you is what's at stake, like your journey, your yes to that path and your way of looking at life.
Right.
The beautiful eyes to see the mystery. And the journey of a soul, you know, had you not said yes and cooperated, so
right.
much would have been at stake. You've got this, you have this beautiful book. I'm sure you've helped so many people. Tell me how all the ways, as we move toward the end of this conversation, how you feel you've prospered from that and perhaps some of the people around you. You already said that some when you described the way you are with your patients, that you've walked the walk, you're not just talking the talk, and you get it deeply, and therefore you can hold that vibration, and you can, you know, call them forth
right.
into another place. So certainly that.
Yeah, I think we just have such an opportunity to grow and evolve in this lifetime. And If you really forgive, and if you say yes, and if you're a willing participant, and I believe our spirit really likes all of our quirks. Every one of our so-called faults is actually connected to one of our genius qualities.
Hmm.
Like, I can be pretty impatient, but mm-hmm. that's connected to my passion for life.
Mm, love it. I love it.
And so my spirit doesn't want to get rid of my impatience. It just wants to get the reins on it, like a very good equestrian gets the reins on a highly spirited horse. And our spirit likes all of our quirks.
Mm.
And so in this lifetime, what we want and what our spirit wants really turns out to be pretty much the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you took every person in the world and you had them say what the 50 things that they want, and then you kind of knock the top five off, you know, everybody wants the same thing.
Right.
They want their children to be more successful than they were. They want to find peace and contentment. They want to find happiness. You know, everybody really wants the same thing.
And that's the deep down, the oneness that we can touch when we go deeper into that which unites us.
Right.
That which is universal.
And so we get to pair up with our spirit, which is quite a pairing. And if our, you know, your spirit loves your all the quirks of the ego, the ego needs to commit to the same direction as your spirit. So
right.
It's kind of like, not thy will but mine, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that surrender
right.
to the source. Is,
right.
And that's gradual, too. I know in my own life, the more I experience the what happens inside me as I surrender, it gets a little easier each time. You know, it's not, and sometimes it's not easy, but when the more I taste the benefits of living in that way, there is an endless abundance waiting for me, for all of us, you know, when we can learn to let go more and more and trust. There's a beautiful plan. And to see the spirit at work, even in me finding you, it's part of it. Like, wow, look at what happens. Even when I'm speaking with you, I just can't wait to share this person that I just spoke with and all that I'm receiving from you and being nourished by. And I know everyone listening is going to feel the same way. And everybody that's meant to listen and receive from you will.
Well, it's been an honor to speak with you.
Oh, I feel the same way. I'm so excited. You mentioned before we hang up today, I'd like to speak about your book, and you said that someone is actually, a lot of people around where you are have your book and are underlining it, and there's actually a workbook coming out. Someone may be writing for you. Is that what you mentioned?
Yes. One of my dear friends, she is helping right now to turn this into a workbook.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the visions that I had when I was writing this book, something I could just see happening was people using it as a study guide. And you know how in book clubs people will take books and they'll do study guides with them?
Yes.
And I could see, because the information in this book is so crucial.
Yes.
And I have discarded hundreds of different healing methodologies.
Wow.
Because they're only marginally effective.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone through hundreds of diets, and, you know, it all boils down to me to just three diets. One is the acid-based balance, and then one is eat right for your type, you know, what your blood type is.
Mm-hmm.
And one is what your body type is, whether you're a thyroid type or adrenal type or pituitary type.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so much noise out there. It's so hard for people who are trying to learn how to take care of their body, because there's so much information out there that's just noise.
People feel so lost and confused. And
yeah, they are.
Even that, you did all the research for them to really, you know, purify all through everything, and therefore it makes the path easier. See, here's the path of a pioneer. You know, again, you know, going through everything yourself first and then and making it more accessible for those that follow in your footsteps. And this book, The name of the book is Body Intelligence, A New Paradigm, Living a Heart-Centered Life in a Mind-Centered World, can really be such a powerful tool for so many ready to take charge of their life and ready to journey back to their heart and back to wholeness. So I hope that we stay in touch, and even before that workbook comes out, I know I'll be using your book a lot.
Well, thank you.
Can you just, before you go, just maybe give me one example of someone whose life you've changed, or the way this year, all you've discovered has helped? I'm sure many, but is there anyone in particular that you'd like to talk
about?
Yeah,
I think about my life 30, 40, 50 years ago, and it's hard to even consider that that's me. I've gone through so much transformation. The forgiveness thing was huge. When I started working at forgiveness, that's what it felt like. My life turned around and started going the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of these rules, you know, the seven habits of breathing out strong, standing tall, feeling your feelings, trusting your gut, shaking off all your injuries like a cat, being decisive, and cherishing everyone. Those are they're the guides for me. That's what I guide my life with.
I feel like I'm in the presence of deep beauty right now, just incredible beauty. And I really do feel truly honored, and I can't help but think that many that listen will feel the same way. Is there any guidance or a little tidbit of advice other than what you just gave, which was a wealth of guidance, and what you just shared? Is there anything you'd like to say to the people listening as they come closer to their hearts? Each of us has a divine, radiant uniqueness in us. And,
I think that this whole life is such a voyage of exploration.
Right.
And there's so much richness. And this is a beautiful blue-green paradise world. But you have to focus on the beauty.
Right.
There's also, most of the people are still spiritually unconscious.
Right.
And so the average person thinks about 60,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day. And if the brain's in charge, they're all about the past or the future.
Right.
And so that really creates a lot of distress in the world.
Yes.
So you can focus on that if you want.
Yeah.
Or you can focus on the beauty around you, and it's your world.
That's
you don't
right.
live in the same world with another being.
Right.
So you don't have to focus on all that darkness. You don't have
That's
to bring
so
that
true.
Into your world.
The power of focus and the power to choose where we put our energy, huh?
Yeah.
And,
we always, every moment, have the ultimate power to choose.
Isn't that true? And what we focus on really does grow, so we might as well use that for our advantage.
Right.
What do we want to, what was it, a Buddhist monk, I believe, said, if you want to get great at worry and fear, just practice worry and fear. If you want to get great at practicing love and compassion and gratitude, just practice in every moment, seeing beauty everywhere, looking for beauty everywhere, making that decision in each breath. And it's so transformative to do that, even our quirks. And that's being an artist in motion, bringing consciousness of beauty. You've already deepened my appreciation for that just speaking with you today. Is there a link or a website that I can guide people to, or if they want to contact you?
My website is johnmayfieldchiropractic.com.
Okay, great.
I spent the last 8 years writing this book, so my blog has sort of suffered.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to start adding to the blog.
Great.
And just writing little articles here and there in it. But my website is my chiropractic office website, and so it has mostly what I believe about healing.
Right.
On all the different landing pages.
Right. And your book is easily accessible. I found you, I believe, on Amazon. So
it's on Amazon, Kindle, Apple, and Sony Nook.
Yes. So this has been your baby for the last several years, and that's been what you've been focusing on. And I'm glad that I have it in my hands, and I'm glad we had this time together. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I wish you all the best as you continue your evolution. And thank you again. I'm going to say goodbye to you now.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wait one second.
One sec.
Just one second.